This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Are you easily distracted, like when you have a task that you are like, oh, but I also want that?
Very easily.
It's tough because the entire system is set up to distract you.
And that's what we're here to talk about.
Yeah, good.
On my podcast, The System. Every week we break down what's wrong with the system. I'm talking with Aparna Nancherla, whose voice you might recognize as Hollyhock on BoJack Horseman. You might also be familiar with her from the Comedy Central series Corporate. Or you may just be aware of her as a comedian. She's done half-hour comedy specials on Comedy Central and Netflix, and she has an album of stand-up called Just Putting It Out There. When major publications write articles touting the best and most innovative comedians working today, Aparna is a fixture on those lists. But we're not here to do an overall career retrospective. We're here to focus on one very specific accolade that Aparna received a few years ago on social media.
People kept texting me congrats, and then someone just texted me Tom! !
And you didn't know what it was yet?
No. And then at the time, I think I was very into Twitter, and I was just like, what happened? And then I saw it, and I think I was in such disbelief that I kept looking at it periodically through the day to make sure it was real. I think it was the closest I've come to really the way people are like, oh, I went viral and my life exploded. I think that's been my closest feeling to that.
You felt like your life exploded?
In a very minor, like, personal way of like, oh my gosh, Tom Hanks saw something I did and not only reacted favorably to it, but took the time to publicly say that.
This is Dead Eyes, a podcast about one actor's quest to find out why Tom Hanks fired him from a small role in the 2001 HBO miniseries Band of Brothers.
My name is Connor Ratliff. I'm an actor and comedian. 21 years ago, I was fired by Tom Hanks. The reason I was told at the time was that he had looked at my audition tape and he thought that I had dead eyes.
You know how some people, like, their eyes, like, go upward?
Mm-hmm.
Like, your eyes tilt downward. But I don't think that's dead eyes.
But it's looking towards the ground, which is where we bury people. And that's the short version. So, in 2016, Tom Hanks tweeted about Aparna. Something nice. A compliment. What was the common reaction? Were people just thrilled or?
Yeah, they were like, it's so cool. It's America's dad. He knows who you are. And this is going to sound so petty and so narcissistic, but he said my name and he tweeted, well, I should say what he did. He tweeted that he liked a column I wrote in New York Magazine, a guest column, but did not include my handle, meaning he probably didn't even look me up.
So he doesn't follow you.
No.
I mean, he doesn't follow that many people.
I think he only followed one person.
As of this current moment in 2021, it's been over a year since he posted anything from his Twitter account. But even back in 2016, Tom Hanks was a fairly infrequent tweeter, averaging about 5 or 6 tweets a month. A lot of those were pictures of lost items of clothing found on the street. Gloves, hats, shoes, part of an ongoing Twitter bit. He also had a thing where he would pose next to interesting-looking automobiles and pretend that they were his new car. Both of these running gags were very popular. Lots of likes and retweets. He follows 25 people, which is a very disciplined amount. That includes, like, family members. It includes people like Oprah and Obama. And, you know, it's there's a few, like, colleagues, et cetera.
Sure.
It would be hard to crack that 25.
Yes.
You'd have to bump somebody very either personally or globally significant to him. But when it comes to tweets where he paid compliments to other artists or works of art, he didn't overdo it. A couple of documentaries, praise for the talents of Emma Watson and Adele, a vintage photo of Bob Dylan using a typewriter, accompanied by the phrase, "Cool people use typewriters." The only other comedian he singled out for praise in a tweet that year was Marc Maron for his IFC series Maron, which he called hilarious. And that was for an episode that guest starred Tom's son Chet as Mark's roommate in rehab, Trey. So when Tom Hanks tweeted about Aparna, she was one of a select few. But she didn't see it that way.
I know he's the type of person, he's always bestowing random acts of kindness on the civilians. So I didn't even take it as like, oh, this is a colleague appreciating another colleague, even though you could argue we're both in the same field. I thought it was more like when he showed up at those people's wedding and he crashed one of their photos. Like, it was like, oh, he's throwing a bone to one of the nobodies.
You felt like he was doing a kindness to a
stranger.
Is that still the way you feel about it?
I guess so. Because it's like we never interacted after that.
You never heard from him beyond his public.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was a weird window of time where I was like, I wonder if he's still thinking about what I wrote. And then as it got farther and farther since he tweeted it, I was like, he's probably moved on now. It was like the silliest. I just was like, oh boy, I wonder if he's still reading the same magazine.
Do you think you ever went back and reread it?
No, it's not the kind of thing you reread. It was like a food diary. It's like this guest column where you note everything you ate in 1 week, and then you write a column about it.
In a weird way, would it make you feel worse if you found out he reads it every day?
It would make me feel sick.
That's too much. That would be too much. I'm going to, just for the record, I'll just read it out loud so we have it. And this is a good trip down memory lane, because I don't know when the last time you looked at this tweet was.
Yeah, I don't either.
Aparna Narchela made me laugh out loud. Thanks, Aparna. Happy 2017.
Oh.
Hanks. And this is a sad detail about the digital world. The link to the article is now whosay.com. Where did the content go? Someone looking up this tweet now. It will not link to the Grove Street article.
Oh, dear.
It leads to a long explanation for why, whatever you were looking for. I mean,
You know what? That I feel like most people that would bum out, but that almost makes me feel better because now it feels like they'll never know what it was and it can be that good in their brain compared to what it is. They can't be like, I read it. I don't think it's good because it's not there for them.
That's another good reason for this podcast episode to exist, is to preserve the record of what that tweet was referring to. Because now anyone who would be reverse scrolling through Tom Hanks's timeline back to 2016 would have no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And so
we're here to put whosay.com in its place.
Yeah, we say where the content went.
Yeah.
It's still on, you Google Grub Street Aparna, you'll get it. We say.
Because we all know people on the internet love to take the time to do the work.
You got to put in the work.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah.
And this is pure speculation. Because I noticed that he didn't tag you, which is it.
We all did. And we all kind of felt weird that we did.
He doesn't tweet that much.
I don't think he's a big tagger, no.
He's tagging, but this is years later. It may be that somebody said to him at some point, you should tag people or whatever.
Yeah, someone sat him down and told him about tagging.
It makes a difference.
I mean, I actually came full circle where I was like, not full circle, half circle, where at first I was like, oh, he didn't tag me. But then later I liked it because I was like, now I don't have a bunch of Hanks heads coming at me and then being like, why did he like you? Because sometimes when a famous person gives you a little shine, all their fans come to you and think you are somehow a way into Hanks.
I'm trying to think the closest thing I've had to that.
Yeah.
Mark Hamill did ASCAP monologues a few years back.
Oh, wow.
And It was one of the few times, I'll admit it, it was one of the few times where I desperately wanted to impress a monologist.
Sure.
Which is very dangerous. Yes, because you can you can do some very bad performing if you are also auditioning while you're doing it.
Yeah.
It's a bad blend. But I did, I remember doing a scene where I'm like, I knew it was going well, and I knew that it was like I was impressing my childhood icon.
Whoa.
And I talked to him a little bit backstage.
Before.
I think I kind of held back a little bit before, and then I always felt better once you did like one half of the show, and then you could sort of, you could feel like you're talking to them as fellow performers once they've seen you do a little bit. After the show, I tweeted about the show, and I tagged Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
And I was doing it very much in the hopes that he might see it and like it or whatever. And then that was the one that he retweeted, and he said something nice about me. And what you realize, you might wish for something like that.
Yeah.
Anytime someone with millions of followers
retweets
or quote tweets something that you've done, whether it's about you or whether it's something else, you start getting a glimpse of what their life is like, and that you start getting notifications. It's like suddenly inviting hundreds of people into your room.
You get a taste of what it's like for them, but then you also get a taste of what it's like if you were like a major person in that person's life, where everything is just a conduit to that person. Because they're not like, Connor, I want to know all about you. They're like, I love Mark.
Yeah. And you also get people who are trying to like, I mean, I don't do this, but like, if I had responded to your quote tweet or something and I'd been like, come on my podcast, like, I wouldn't do that. But you get people who are like trying to deliver a message through you to the other person.
They're like, this is my way in.
Maybe it is.
Yeah, maybe it is.
It probably isn't.
It's probably not.
When we return, more about people on the internet paying compliments and presenting criticisms. And more speculation about Tom Hanks and his tweet. Dead Eyes will be right back.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
If you could have picked what piece of work would have made Tom Hanks laugh out loud, would it have been the Grub Street piece?
No. I've reread it a couple times since then, the column I wrote, and I've been like, this isn't that good.
So this is, in some ways, if Tom hears this, this is a good news for him that, like, if you liked this, like, listen to your album. Because that was my take on the, like, the Grub Street piece, which I think is great. It is that kind of thing that you do where it's, like, if you had a weekly column, you would write stuff like that all the time. You know, it's sort of like.
But it wasn't, like, joke dense.
It's very slice of life. Yeah. Very, like, it's your voice, but it's also, it's not the appropriate venue for you to bring all of your A material and be firing on all cylinders.
Yes.
That would actually be really overkill for a piece like that.
Yeah.
If Tom had come to you afterwards or now and said, I really love this, I want more, what would be the thing you would direct him to?
I mean, I guess if it was stand-up, it would feel like the natural thing to say would be the album. I think I really enjoyed acting in my friend's show Corporate, so I might send that. Probably one of those two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the record, we don't, this isn't a podcast that has a plug section. So this is okay. A rare, like it's germane yeah. to the conversation.
Yes. It's a rare, and I'm not a fan generally of plugging my work. So this felt like I had.
This isn't about you. This is about yeah. Tom.
Yes.
Because he could be hearing yes. this and being like, I didn't know these other, I thought Grub Street was it. Because he didn't look you up.
Right.
So he's like, right. It's just Aparna did the, is this yeah. one hit wonder, did the Grub Street article.
Did the Grub Street, got out of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just went out on top in a blaze of glory. Beyond not being tagged, was there any of blowback or weird stuff that happened where you're like, I wish this part hadn't happened?
I don't think there was that I recall, but I have a very anxious, negative thought skewing brain. So I think I imagine someone wrote, I don't get it. It's not even that funny. And I think I imagine that so many times that I now think it's real.
You've manifested it in your memory.
Yeah.
Is there negative feedback that you've really held on to that you feel like has stuck with you for a long time?
Yeah, I started stand-up in D.C. and I remember I was like on some, helped produce and was on like an all-female comedy show that, and I remember there was like a blog post promoting it and someone wrote just a very long post about how everyone on the lineup was good except me and why they didn't like me and how they'd seen me a couple times. And well, first they just said they didn't like me. They were like, looks like a solid show except for Aparna. I've seen her and she's terrible. And then some friends of mine tried to, you know, engage and be like, eh, you don't know what you're talking about, or like, that's just your opinion. And then they doubled down and was like, well, I saw her here, terrible. Saw her here, also terrible. And they were all sets where I was like, yeah, those didn't go well. And I took it so badly. I was like, I mean, it really stuck with me. And I think for a really long time, I just thought in every show that person was there.
Is there any chance this person caused those shows to be bad?
No, I can't say they did.
Do you remember who this person was?
No, they were anonymous.
What format were you getting this feedback in?
Blog comments.
Blog comments.
It was blog comments on a, you know how like city papers would post, right. Have like online sections. So it was like, you know, here are events to check out this week.
Yeah.
And it was just on that.
I'm going to do a who say search and see if I can find, go to who say.
I looked it up recently. I've been too scared to for so long. And then I did recently. Still there.
It's still there.
It's still there.
So the Tom Hanks Grub Street link is gone. But you can still go,
yeah.
And you've been recently to this blog and looked at those comments.
It's all
again.
There.
And how long ago were these comments?
2008.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so you recently went and revisited still like an old friend.
Mm-hmm.
I tracked down the website where the anonymous commenter was being critical of Aparna to see for myself what it was like. There are 21 comments, starting out with the person who didn't like her. And Aparna's not wrong about the criticisms. They are there, and they are harsh. But they get a big reaction, with most of the people posting in response standing up for Aparna, saying she's great. It gets pretty heated, the way online arguments between strangers often tend to. And the original poster does attempt to walk it back a little, conceding that they think Aparna is clever and original, but that they don't think her punchlines are strong. Then they start kind of explaining how it's important for professional comedians to be able to deal with criticism. Which is true, I guess. But the main thing I took away from it was that the original poster's comment was mean-spirited.
At the very end, they posted a YouTube link and they were like, watch this link and tell me you disagree that she's terrible. And then someone wrote after that, yeah, she's pretty bad.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And that's the last comment on it. And then I clicked on that YouTube link because it was to my like personal YouTube page, and I had taken it down years earlier, so it now goes nowhere.
So you...
I who-sayed myself.
That's so rough.
I think it's especially rough when people not only say they don't like you, but they say it in contrast to others.
Mm.
They're like, well, Because usually you can be like, well, this person sucks. Like, they probably have bad taste. But then they're like, no, I like all your friends. I don't like you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is obviously something that I relate to, given the central premise of this podcast. Whenever I'm the subject of a negative comment, it sticks with me, and I return to it in my mind again and again. Even something like this podcast, which has received mostly good reviews and positive comments online. Every now and then, I see someone post something like, oh, I heard this was good, but I tried it, and I don't see what the big deal is. Or, it used to be good, but now I don't like it anymore, and they should stop making it. And I will remember those things in a way that somehow takes up more space in my brain than 100 other compliments do. Dwelling on the negative, especially when it's about you, I truly don't know if it's that people who do that are drawn to this kind of work, or if there's something about the business that makes you naturally become that way. I don't know. Maybe it's just how most people are.
You take on negative and positive feedback in a similar way. Yeah. Like, you find a way to file them both in the same, yeah. Like, this compliment was probably a mistake.
Yeah.
And this criticism was right on target.
Yeah. Like, but at the same time, I do take my compliments and I paste them all in a Word document. And I wouldn't say I look at it really, but I have, when I've been feeling really low, sometimes skim through it. And it is somewhat helpful to be like, are all these people wrong? Like, are they all bored and writing you these nice things? And so that's like my small attempt to work against the negative thoughts.
I especially think that that is a really nice and actually healthy thing to do.
Yeah.
Especially since you're someone who will go back and revisit a more than decade old blog comment. You know, like, if you're...
How do you feel about people who retweet their compliments?
It depends on the compliment.
Yes.
Sometimes you just have to. Right. I think in the case of...
A famous person.
Tom Hanks tweeting about you, I think you have to. I think there's almost something that would be, not false modesty, but
yes.
Like, if you didn't retweet it, it would almost be like you're pretending you don't want to retweet it when everyone knows, like, this is a special compliment. Yes. If you retweeted every compliment, I think that's another thing. I think it's like anything where it's sort of like there's a balance to it. Similarly, you know, I think if you get a really interesting piece of negative feedback, I think it's really funny to share.
Yes.
It's funny when you get criticism from someone who does such a bad job of criticizing you that it's sort of the equivalent of they're tripping all over themselves trying to say you're doing a bad job.
Yes.
If I see something that's critical of something I've done, and the manner in which they're criticizing me is so poorly executed, I'm like, oh, we're going to talk about this.
Yes.
Because that's just fun. It's like, it's like, how do you deal with hecklers when you're doing stand-up?
I mean, stand-up, I generally, like, my act doesn't usually get a lot of hecklers, but in the past when I have, I'll just, you know, try to do the thing of, like, addressing them with a line or two and then moving it along, but I won't, like, engage with them at length. I already resent that there's an audience here, period. So if you guys are going to keep drawing attention to yourself like that, I can't handle it.
Have you ever been fired from a show business job?
A writing job, yes. Actually, my first writing job, I think it was, where my boyfriend at the time was like consulting on an MTV show, and then they were like bringing in other comedians. They brought me in for a day, and I was like, oh, how do you think I did? And he was like, it's good. It's the first day. It's fine. And then we were going into work on the next day, and we got to like the security gate, and they called him, and they were like, oh, by the way, don't bring a partner today. And then that was it, and they never asked me back.
And this was at the security gate? So what did you do?
He dropped me off at home and went back to work.
How'd that feel?
Pretty bad.
Yeah, that's a bad one.
Yeah. It was like my first opportunity at all, so I was just like, oh, I'm the worst.
Have you ever been fired from a regular job, like a non-show business job?
I tried to sell knives after college, and I think I fired myself. I just stopped attending the orientation.
You never got to the point where you actually sold a knife?
I tried to. You were supposed to sell sets, and I sold one single knife.
To whom?
My dad's coworker. She felt sorry for me, and then later she cut herself with the knife on accident.
Oh. That's a sadder story than I thought when you started out. Oh. If Tom Hanks got in touch with you and said, I want you to write something for me or come up with something that we could do together, would you have a pitch ready? Would you have – what would your first – if he was like, I've been revisiting the Grub Street article and exploring other – I exploring the other things that you've done.
I think there's a show here.
Yeah. What if you had to adapt the Grub Street article – into another form, what would it be? Would it be a series, or you think it'd be a movie?
A series or a movie? I was gonna say a TikTok.
A TikTok?
One TikTok.
One TikTok? What do you eat?
It would be like, you know, that popular thing where they just keep smash cutting different things together. It would just be a smash cut of all the things I ate.
Would you have a music cue in mind? Like, oh no. Oh no. Oh no, 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 no.
I see how it became music at the end. At the beginning, I was like, that's just...
You haven't heard that one on TikTok? No.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know. Yeah, I guess it would be that then.
I didn't know if you... How familiar are you with TikTok?
Not at all. I mean, I'm not even... I don't even have an account, but everyone I know loves it.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, I start watching videos and 3 hours later...
I'll tell you this about it.
Yeah.
I think it takes a while before it, and this is maybe terrifying, I'm realizing as I say it, it sort of learns what you like and what you don't like.
Yeah.
At first, it was very disturbing because it would, the process of getting to know me.
Yeah.
I would see something, it'd be like a funny animal or a cute thing, or it's someone doing something funny.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it would be surgery. And I'd be like, what the hell? It was so shocking that literally I was like, this is what happens when we cut open your belly, we take all the fat, we put it somewhere else. And I was just like... You don't have time. It's so fast that you don't even have time to not see it before you will it away.
But then does it think you loved it?
I think it took a while of me, like, it obviously learned, because it's been a while since I've seen it.
Okay.
It learned that, like, oh, when we try to show, like, a knife cutting into a cyst and then like, fluid oozing out of it, this guy doesn't stick around. But if it's a dog being nice to a cat, he stays a little longer.
So you think when you first join, the algorithm's really throwing pain at the wall.
They're just, it's like they throw everything at you. And I could have easily imagined leaving instantly if one of the first things was like, welcome to TikTok, here's the blood, where it's just too much. It's too much. Yeah. What if you were pitching for Tom Hanks, something for him that is like, it's not for you, but you come up with an idea. He's like, what should I do? I want it to be funny.
Well, I know he likes space stuff a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk sometimes about mental health. So I'm going to say astronaut in therapy.
Is Tom Hanks the therapist or the astronaut?
The astronaut.
And he's in therapy?
He's a washed up astronaut in therapy.
It's a great title. Astronaut in therapy?
He feels like he peaked when he was an astronaut and now he's too old to go into space. Obviously, they'd have to age him up.
Because this is Tom Hanks with a reverse Irishman where they're aging him up.
Yeah. And so he's having an identity crisis about it.
Do you see this as a long running show or do you see this as like one of the, like a shorter?
I think limited series, people demand a second season.
Right. And then some people complain it should have been one and done.
Yep. Yep.
But other people like, I'm just glad to see Astronaut Therapy back for season two.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a solid pitch. Do you have any tips or suggestions for how to make Tom Hanks laugh out loud?
Wow. I guess don't try too hard and don't even think you're really writing a comedic thing. And if you make a few jokes, that's good, but don't make too many. Because he'll be able to sense that.
Right. So keep it in check. Keep the comedy natural, but don't force it.
He's probably used to people trying too hard to impress him.
So just the ease with which you were able to write about your daily experiences.
Yeah.
That was what spoke to him.
Yeah. Because it's, I mean, that column was called a diary. So essentially you're writing it like no one else is going to read it.
Yeah. But Tom Hanks read it.
Tom Hanks read it.
He liked it.
Yeah.
He laughed out loud.
Unreal.
One of the things that makes Tom Hanks's tweet about Aparna feel so special is that it seems like it is exactly what it appears to be. A pure and simple, nice thing. As far as we can tell, there is no ulterior motive. Tom Hanks doesn't have an ownership stake in Grub Street or any of the restaurants Aparna wrote about. He wasn't promoting anything. The most likely scenario is that the article caught his eye and it made him laugh. To the point where he wanted to share it with the world, either as a marker of his good taste or because it might make some other people happy too. Either way, it's a well-earned compliment and a sincere wish for a happy new year.
Did you have a happy 2017?
I think I did after that. That was the beginning of the year.
For what it's worth, I hope that Aparna will paste some portion of this podcast episode into her Word document of compliments that she looks at when she's feeling low. Even if it's only to remind her who said she was funny and where the content did go.
I'm glad that you were able to get some happiness out of it.
I managed to find a silver lining.
I mean, it was all silver lining.
It was silver. It was silver.
It was just silver.
Yeah.
No lining. Silver straight through.
I was speaking in jest.
I wound up on your backside. Till now, I guess I had a free ride. But now I join the queue of people dead to you. A one-time charm.
Dead Eyes is a production of HeadGum Studios. It was created by me, Connor Ratliff. It's written by me, and it's mostly me that you hear talking, including now. The show is produced and edited by Harry Nelson and Mike Comite. Special thanks to my guest, Aparna Nancherla. Also thanks to Amy Mann for letting us use this song that's playing in the background. It's called Disappeared, and it can be found on her 2012 album, Charmer. If you like Dead Eyes, please do all the things that podcasts tell you to do. Subscribe, rate, review, follow us on Twitter at Dead Eyes Podcast, and talk about us nicely on social media. If you want to reach out, the email is deadeyespodcast@gmail.com. Please tell your friends about this show, especially if you are friends with Tom Hanks, whose photograph, as it turns out, can be found on the Wikipedia page for Whosay, as in Whosay.com. And this explains why the Tom Hanks tweet about Aparna no longer links to her Grub Street article. It's because Whosay, which is now a marketing service that works with celebrities and influencers, started out as a way for famous people to post things simultaneously on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, etc., multiple platforms all at once. And if you go to the Wikipedia page for Whosay and click on its history subsection, there is a picture of Tom Hanks with a caption that says, Whosay's growth was slow until actor Tom Hanks joined it 3 months after its launch. So, Tom Hanks was using Whosay to post stuff online. And then in 2018, Whosay changed what kind of company they were. They decommissioned the Whosay talent app, deleted all of its data, and this made all of those tweeted links stop working. There are now dozens of Tom Hanks tweets prior to 2018, where the links are to Whosay.com. Where did the content go? In some cases, it makes it impossible to know what Tom Hanks was tweeting about back then, unless you saw it at the time and you remember. Otherwise,
Those tweeted links are lost to history. Thanks for listening. Be smart. Stay safe. That's it. That's all. You're gone. That's it. That's all. You're gone.
That was a HeadGum Original.